Well, hello, my name is Anthony, and I'm the care pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and we're very excited that you are tuning in. Welcome to the end of the Unstuck series. We literally got stuck this past weekend thanks to Hurricane Omri, so we weren't be able to meet in person, but we're happy to be unstuck at the moment to be able to deliver this final message to you online. So we've been exploring around the truths about being stuck, right? Stuck at work, stuck in your relationship, stuck in the past. Stuck when it comes to your future, right? In week one, we laid out the foundation that really begins with dependence on God. And we also had you start asking this question, right? The question we've been asking this whole series, which is, what is God trying to teach us when we're stuck? And that's the question. That's the question that we needed to wrestle with during this entire series. And last week, in week two, we looked at the areas in which we were stuck and realized it might be an issue of obedience. See, we can find ourselves stuck, often due to not being obedient to where God is calling us. And listen, if you didn't get a chance to hear it, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to the past few weeks because I think we unpacked some really powerful truths. But this week, as we wrap everything up, I did want to clear up a few things, if I may. You know, many of you have come out of the last few weeks and you've been encouraged. You've been encouraged to engage God in your stuckness, to engage Him in the areas in which we find ourselves stuck. Others of you are still, well, dare I say, stuck. You realize it has to do with dependence on Him. You believe that you're being obedient to Him. So why are you still stuck? Well, I do feel like I need to clarify something. First off, it's not always a sin to be stuck. Some of you have asked that question, and there are a lot of things that can happen in life that make us feel stuck. Sin is just one of the ways in which being stuck manifests itself. And let's be honest, sometimes we actually turn to sin in order to get unstuck, but that's why we need to establish the baseline that dependence on God, obedience to God, will help in getting unstuck. It's about dependence and trust and giving Him control over this area of your life. It's about moving forward in my life because I'm willing to give God complete control. If I want to move from being stuck to unstuck in my marriage, in my work, in my dating, in my faith, I must give God complete control in that area of my life. If I feel stuck in my finances and I want to move from being stuck to unstuck in my finances, then I need to give God complete control in that area of my life. Because let's be honest, being stuck can really mess with you. And it can feel like it's piling up. In fact, sometimes being stuck really is like being in traffic, right? You slow down because you see the traffic piling up ahead of you, and then what happens behind you, right? More people are doing the same thing. And being stuck in life is kind of like that, isn't it? You're working hard, focusing on this one issue, being stuck, and then all these other things are piling up around it. You're like, I'm trying to give God this one thing, but I've got 13 other things piling up behind me, making me stuck in other areas of my life. Listen, I feel you. I understand that. I am right there with you. After a cancer diagnosis, lengthy surgery and recovery, radiation period, my apartment had sewage water backing up into it. Yeah, it was a crappy situation. When it rains, it pours. Well, in my case, when it rains, poop comes out of the drain. Now listen, was it a result of sin? No. But we can find ourselves stuck in many aspects of our life, and it can become overwhelming at times. And you know what can really become too much? When we try to deal with it all at the same time. You're stuck at work, you're stuck in your relationship with your wife, with your kids, and your in-laws. You're stuck in your finances, but you're also stuck in your dating life, and then your health issues. It's like traffic piling up one thing after another. You feel like, yes, you're depending on God, and yes, you're obedient to God, but man, you still feel stuck. I mean, I think we can all agree that it's a terrible thing to be stuck, right? No one likes being stuck. I joked about it in week one, getting lost delivering pizzas in my hometown. It's true, my sense of direction is terrible. I use a GPS for literally everything. I'm just glad I have unlimited data. I even got lost going to my own reception at our wedding. It's true, ask my wife. Our phones had died, and we drove around for forever trying to find out how to get to our own reception. But I've learned over the years to trust maps and to trust the people who give me direction. Do you remember when OnStar first came out? You know, some vehicles still have it, but when it first came out, there used to be this little button right above the rearview mirror, or sometimes, you know, in the rearview mirror itself, and you could press it, and then someone would be on the other end, right? They could tell you where your car was and how to get someplace. They were also great for roadside assistance if you got into an accident with a flat tire or you needed a jump, right? I used to travel a lot from my old job, and I always would get OnStar. The representatives at the end of the trip would be like my best friends. I was coming back one time from doing a gig upstate New York, and we were in my buddy's car, and he had OnStar, and we used it no less than 12 times the entire three-hour trip. It's mostly interstate driving. I don't know how we managed to get stuck as many times as we did. It's beyond me. But you know what? Every time we listened to OnStar, they got us out of that pickle, and they got us back on track, and they let us home to safety. Why? Because they can see the bigger picture. They're literally able to see where we're going, where we're headed, and how to get where we needed to go. In essence, they have the ability to help us get unstuck. I remember when I was acting a bunch and teaching acting in my life before ministry, I used to have this cardinal rule for my students because it was taught to me that way. You never argue with the director. I don't care if you disagree with their interpretation. Ultimately, they're looking at the bigger picture, and they know what looks best and is best. I remember one time I was working on this production of a show I was in, and it had a big sword fight in it. For obvious reasons, you had to learn the fight choreography so you didn't, kill the other actor, right? And once you get the show up and running, you do what's called a fight call. It's exactly 45 minutes before every curtain goes up every single night. I don't care if you run the show for 5 days or 5 years. The rule is you must run a fight call before every single performance. Well, one of the actors wasn't really good at listening to the director and got stuck one night before the show. Rather, his sword got stuck in the other actor's mouth. And bam, just like that, he's out of the show. Both actors are fine now, I'm proud to say, but the one who got stabbed in the mouth said the best thing about the whole event was that when he got to the hospital, he got to put down stabbed with a sword on the reason of why he was there. What do these stories have in common? Why do I share these stories with you? What do they have to do with getting unstuck in life? Well, great question. Here's what they have in common. Both have to do with someone seeing the bigger picture. The OnStar representative and the director both knew where to go and what to do, and it was just our job to listen. Problem is we don't always like to listen. We also don't necessarily like to create the space to listen. And when we don't, we can get stuck. If I didn't listen to that OnStar representative, who knows where I would have ended up? And if I didn't listen to the director, I'd probably end up stabbing someone with a sword. The same is true in our life when we're stuck. If we're not creating the space to listen or truly listen to God, then how are we to know what He's telling us or which direction we're supposed to go? Sometimes we just don't want to hear the answer. Sometimes He's told us and we just don't want to hear it, so we continue to be stuck because we're waiting for another answer. My question is, have you truly created space to hear God, to engage with Him about those areas in your life in which you're stuck? I mean, truly created that space. Listen, I know we say things like pray for me, or we spend a couple of minutes throwing it into a prayer before bedtime. But when we're really stuck, if it truly is all-encompassing, if it truly is taking up most of our life by focusing on the one thing that we're stuck in, how much are we actually bringing it to God and then creating the space to hear from Him and to truly do what He's asking us to do? There's the story that I think kind of illustrates really beautifully that's found in the Gospel of John, specifically in chapter 5. Now, John was a disciple of Jesus. John, who wrote the Gospel of John that you find in your New Testament, he was one of the 12 apostles, who was an eyewitness to the events of Jesus' life, and he was kind of on the inner circle with Jesus alongside James and Peter. He traveled with Jesus. He knew Jesus. He was also very clear on why he wrote his Gospel. If you want to know why John wrote the book of John, you can find it in John 20, 31, which says this, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." So there it is. John gets very straight to the point. He skips the birth narrative and basically starts with Jesus's ministry when you read the Gospel of John. And there's this account in John chapter 5 that I really think speaks to what we're going through when we're stuck. It's found right at the top of John chapter 5, verse 1. It says this: sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, there is a Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem is a sheep gate. There in Jerusalem near the sheep gate is a pool, which Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. So I love that John does this, first of all. He gets so specific, right? In fact, because he was so specific, right, of all the Gospels, it really shows the greatest amount of geographical information about locations where events occur. I love this because such references, you know, they don't reflect John's main purpose in writing the Gospel, which was what? Right? Come on, we said this before, right? John 20:31 says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you, may you have, you know, life in his name." Come on, people. This is going to be on the quiz. But this makes sense, right? This makes them even more significant when these references turn out to be historically accurate. You see, you can actually visit this site in Jerusalem today. This is believed to be the pool, right? That these are kind of an example of the healing pools that were very common to the area and the time of the day. And they're actually quite large. As you can see, some of the people picture these little tiny pools, but roughly these things are like 20 feet deep, right? And sometimes they're as large as a football field. So John doesn't really specify which Jewish festival that it was, but we know that since it was a Jewish festival, everyone would have been making their way to the temple grounds. And now we see there's this man that's introduced in verse 5. It says, "One who was there had been invalid for 38 years." Now, an invalid was a person who, was made weak or disabled by illness or an injury. And think about this. He'd been stuck for 38 years. And the reason he was here is that these pools were places where people believed it was a source of healing. And this man had been there longer than many people in ancient times even lived. And he had been stuck there quite a long time. Now, Jesus was drawn to this man for some reason, as he often is to those of us who are stuck. But then he asks him a question that may seem a little bit trivial to you and me for a man in his condition. Look at what he says in verse 6. "When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, 'Do you want to get well?'" Well, that seems kind of like a dumb question. Why wouldn't he? I mean, this dude has been stuck there for literally 38 years. Don't you think he'd want to get well? However, this was a sincere question, because Jesus knew that not every sick person wants to be healed. And there are some that are so discouraged that they put away all hope of ever being healed. And if we're honest, sometimes being stuck can be like that too. Sometimes we can be stuck in something for so long that we actually lose hope. We don't think we're ever going to get out of being stuck. And Jesus is dealing with a man who may have been so stuck that it wasn't just his body, but that it was his mind and that his soul too. It's like that traffic that starts piling up, and you just start to think to yourself, am I just supposed to be stuck like this for the rest of my life? I guess this is just how it is. And we get to a point where we've been stuck for so long that we don't know if we're ever going to be unstuck. Sometimes we think this is just how it is. As bad as the current situation is, at least I'm familiar with it. I mean, this man could also lose out on the living that he had been, you know, that he had been taking for however many years. I mean, a beggar during this time could actually make a pretty decent living, especially if this was something that he's been doing for almost 4 decades, right? But his question, Jesus's question to the man with the mat, I believe, is the same question he has for you and the same question that he has for me when we're stuck. Essentially, he's asking, do you want to get unstuck? Now, that may also seem like a dumb question because that's why we're here, right? That's why you've been listening to us for the last 3 weeks, right? You want to get unstuck. My question is, do you? Do you really want to get unstuck? Do you really want to get healthier? Do you really want to get over your past? Do you really want to get beyond the way you were brought up? Do you really want to get stronger? Do you really want to get out of that toxic relationship? Do you really want to get out of that toxic work environment? Do you really want to get out of that financial crisis? Because if you do, then sometimes you must do the hard work of getting there. And so Jesus asks the man, do you want to get well? And look at the man's answer. Verse 7, sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. I mean, this is the way that it worked after all, right? You're going to get into the water and you're supposed to be healed, but no one is going to help him get into the water. And he explains to Jesus why it was impossible for him to be healed. And naturally, I mean, the man couldn't think of any other way for his needs to be met, right? I mean, the man was really an interesting case, I think, combined of hope with hopelessness. Because he had hope, or he would have never come to the pool. Yet once he was there, he had little hope to be the one to be healed that day. And that's some of you that are watching right now, and that's some of you that are listening to this. You have hope, or you would have never come here. You would have never turned this on. You wouldn't be listening. But some of you have little hope that you can actually be made unstuck. See, we get stuck in life when life makes no progress. When we battle the same discouragement that we faced years ago. We struggle with the same fears that we struggled with year after year. When you wake up with the same hang-ups. There's a pastor that I admire. His name is Max Lucado. He puts it this way. When sitting at the edge of Bethesda becomes your permanent residence. Remember, the name of that fountain was Bethesda. And when you feel like you're sitting at the edge of that fountain, not able to get in, not able to get healed, not able to get unstuck. When you feel like everyone else is getting unstuck and everyone is getting into the pool before you, and no one wants to help you. This man is doing what we do sometimes, where he's limiting God's help. We limit it to our own ideas. We don't think that we'll ever get out of it, so we limit what God can do as well. How? By not bringing the conversation to Him, by not talking to Him, by not listening to His Word, by not creating space to really hear from Him and those who are pointing us toward Him. We can be stuck in something and truly want to get out, but refuse to bring it to God and to bring God into that situation because we think, how can He possibly help? And this is how Jesus responds. Jesus says, then get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. Jesus saw this man amidst all the other people that day. He really saw him. He sees you, he sees me, he really sees you. And just like the director or the OnStar guide, he has a better vision of you than you have for yourself. Now, this man didn't have to listen to Jesus, did he? He could have trusted his own instincts. He could have looked at his circumstances, the same circumstances he's been in for 38 years, and he said, you know what? You're crazy. He could have determined to stay where he was at, determined that he'd be able to figure it out himself. But what did he do? What did this man do who's been stuck for 38 years? This man happened to respond in faith. and did exactly what Jesus told him to do. Though the moment before, it was impossible for him to do it. He listened. He followed Jesus' instructions. Why? Because like the director and like the OnStar rep, his vantage point was much better than the guy on the mat. And his vantage point is better than yours. He can see what you can't. Don't you think we should listen then to what he says? Doesn't he want us to get unstuck? Doesn't he want to help us? Yes. Yes, he does. He's saying to you exactly what he said to that man on the mat. He is saying, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. It's time to reach out to them. It's time to ask for forgiveness. It's time to apply for that job that you've been wondering about. It's time to ask that person out. It's time to make that appointment. It's time to talk with that family member. And if you don't know what your mat is, if you don't know which way to go, if you're trying to figure out and you don't know which way to go, then you need to listen to him. More often than not, if I am stuck and I don't know the way out, it's because I really haven't been listening to what he's been saying. Jesus is the one source who could get this man up, moving forward, and give him the necessary moment to take that first step. And he's doing the same thing for you. No matter how much is piling up, no matter how much traffic is piling up around us, we can take a lesson from Jesus on how to get unstuck. I mean, you got to think about it for a moment. This was during a festival, so there were tons of people. It was likely chaos. And people were always like that with Jesus, right? People wanted to touch him. People wanted to touch him to be healed. I mean, the religious leaders, they wanted to persecute him. They wanted to get rid of them. I mean, others would come to hear from him all over to preach. But then, what would he do? Amidst all the chaos, amidst all the things that were piling up in Jesus' life, what would he do? He would often go off by himself to connect with the Father, no matter how much life was getting him stuck, no matter how much life was thrown at him. Getting alone with God to really listen to him amidst the chaos was essential for Jesus. The demand of the world around him did not dictate his behavior. He gave precedent always to get away with his Father. Why would we think that we could get unstuck any differently? We need to make getting alone with God and listening to him our highest priority in order to move forward from where we're finding ourselves stuck. How many of you over the course of the last few weeks have earnestly spent time with God to help you get unstuck? I want you to think about that for a moment. As my old pastor in Alabama would say, have you prayed about it as much as you've talked about it? Don't you think? I mean, if you've been stuck for 38 years, that it might be worth bringing it to God. If dependence on him is the foundation, obedience is the next step, then listening to him and hearing his voice will point us in the direction that we need to go. A verse that keeps popping up in my life over and over and over again, it's actually the very first verses I ever memorized, speaks exactly to what we need to do when we're stuck. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. What does verse 6 say again? Let's read it again together. Wherever you are, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. It doesn't say trust in yourself or your own understanding. It says trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. The only way you're going to be able to distinguish his voice from the world around you is to make time with him a priority. You don't have time to not spend with him in order to get unstuck. Here's my challenge to you. What's today's date? Whenever you're listening to this, go ahead and look at the calendar. I want you to fervently pray for the things that you are stuck in for the next 30 days. Make it a priority. There's a few ways you can do this. Number one, there's rhythms, right? We talk about rhythms all the time. If you don't know what rhythms is, it's in our app. You just click on the app, go to the bottom. It'll literally prompt you throughout your day to pray at certain points throughout the day. Use the Rhythms app to help you pray for the things that you want to get unstuck so that when those notifications come in, you stop and you give those things to God. There's also something that I used. If you have an Apple Watch and sometimes it tells you to breathe, right? It has a lot of attitude when it tells you to breathe, right? But it just comes up at random parts of the day. Well, I started to say whenever it breathes, that's the time that I'm going to talk with God. There's also this app that was taught to me the other day. It's called the Pause app, right? You can download it. It's literally called the Pause app, and it'll teach you how to pause at a minute, a 3 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minute intervals throughout the day. And you build this up. Maybe you actually take a day away with God. Maybe you actually say, you know what? Today, this Friday or this Saturday, I'm just going to go. I'm going to go sit in a park. I'm going to go take a drive. And I'm going to interact with God over a certain period of time, focusing specifically on the things that I'm stuck. Or you could do what's called a letter of surrender, which is something that I've been taught and I've been teaching people for a lot of times, which is literally sit down, write a letter to God. That's right. Old school pen to paper of all the things that you're unstuck with and do it for 30 days. Write this letter to God. Dear God, these are the ways that I feel stuck right now. If it's your health, pray for it every single day and listen to His answer. If it's your job, pray for it every single day and listen for His answer. If it's your relationship, if it's your singleness, pray for it every single day and listen to His answer. You're only going to be able to hear Him tell you which way to go if you're creating that space for Him and you eliminate all the other distractions. There's this illustration that I was taught a while back that's just so good in order to be able to hear God's voice, right? It says, you know, when my wife calls, I don't have to ask who is it because I know who it is. I know her voice. I've spent time with her. It's the same thing with God. If you're stuck right now, create that space to listen to Him and hear what He's telling you to do. He sees you. And He's calling you out from this moment. He's saying, get up, take your mat, and walk. Get up, take what you're stuck in, and move forward with Him. You never know where He's going to lead you, but I can guarantee you that because His vantage point is better than yours, He can take you from being stuck to unstuck better than you can on your own. Just try it and see where He takes you. Will you pray with me? Father, I do want to thank You for this today. I want to thank You for being able, I want to thank You for technology to be able to finish this series. My prayer is that we will take these three steps that we've learned over the past 3 weeks, right? This idea of dependence on You, obedience to You, and listening to You as a key ways for us to be able to be unstuck. That we can come out of this with no excuses. You know what? I am going to fervently pray. I'm going to give this over to You time and time again. I know I needed this in my own life, God. I feel like even if nobody else listens to this conversation, You were speaking to me, which I am very thankful for, knowing that I need to listen to You and not to my own understanding and not to my own ways of figuring out, but that ultimately You're the one that's guiding us every step of the way. Thank You for those who are tuning in. Thank You for those who are listening. Father, we love You. And it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.